We're going to turn to the Bible now. We're reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, from verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Some challenging words given to the original disciples. Some of them probably not relevant to us, but some of them are. And some of them have always been relevant to Christian disciples seeking to do the will of Jesus. About 300 years ago, missionaries from Europe went across to South America and tried to reach the Indian tribes in what we now call Brazil and Argentina. One of the major groups of Indians was called the Guarani. And there was a river between what we now call Brazil and what we now call Argentina, a river called the Iguazu. And there are some spectacular waterfalls there. In fact, it's said to be the largest waterfall system in the world. It's a massive system of water over several kilometers. And These missionaries who went from Europe to reach the Guarani found themselves confronted with this obstacle. They navigated up the river, the Iguazu, and then they came to these falls. What do you do? Now, one of their leaders, a bold missionary, managed to get up past the falls and reach the Guarani and spent some time talking to them. But in the end, the Guarani decided that they didn't want to have him around and they weren't going to accept his message. So they killed him. The rest of the missionary band, how would you have reacted if you'd been a member of the group? Would you have gone home to Spain or Portugal or wherever they'd come from? No. What they decided to do was have another go. And this story is portrayed vividly in the film The Mission, which you might have seen. It's quite an old film now, about 30 years ago. So one of the missionary band, his name was Gabriel, he decides he'll have a go at contacting the Guarani. And so he climbs up by the side of one of the cataracts of the falls. It's an immense climb. It's about 300 feet, I think, that he has to climb. And he doesn't have ropes and climbing equipment like we do. He tries it in bare feet. And up he goes, up the side of the waterfall. And he's got a strategy. When he gets to the top, he sits down in a clearing of the forest. And in his rucksack, he's brought his oboe. Because he knows that the Guarani love music. And so he sits down in this clearing of the forest, takes his oboe out of his rucksack and starts to play. And in the film, there's an imaginative reconstruction of what he might have played. And I'll just play you a bit of it. Now remember that this guy's friend has just been killed by the Guarani. And sitting in this forest clearing, he knows he's surrounded by the Guarani. Okay, they might love music, but that might not be their dominant emotion when they see him sitting there playing his oboe. And if we could just go to the next slide, Roshni. Is that bright enough to see? Yeah. You can see what's going on there. He's sitting there on a rock, and the Indians are coming closer to him, and they're probably as frightened as he is, because they don't quite know what to make of him, because he's playing this beautiful music. Is he an angel or what? But they've got bows and arrows with them, just in case, and so we wonder what's going to happen. One of the tribe, who's a man of some considerable authority and responsibility, comes out of the forest really angry because he can see that if his people are going to get misled and carried away by this stranger. So he marches up to Gabriel, snatches the oboe and snaps it across his leg and throws it in the water. Oh dear, what's going to happen? What's the next move? Well, he storms off in a huff. But another member of the tribe comes forward and picks up the oboe and hands it to Gabriel, obviously in the hope that he might be able to stick it back together again. But Gabriel takes it from him and says, no, can't do that. So they have a little conference, the Indians, and obviously what they're saying is, well, if we took him back to the village, we might be able to stick it back for him because we've got glue, So that's what they do. And one of them leads him by the hand and takes him down to their village. And the next scene in the film is that half of them have become Christians. And the missionaries are busy teaching them all about Jesus and the Gospels. What can we learn from the example of that story? Some of it might be a bit fictional, but certainly that sort of thing did happen 300 years ago, and missionaries did reach the Guarani, and a lot of them did become Christians. And they did like music as well. The first thing I suggest that we can learn from the story is the example of courage, Gabriel's courage. I'm just thinking about the story of what he did. Which would you say needed the greater courage, climbing up the rock face next to the waterfall, or sitting quietly playing his oboe in a clearing in the forest? Perhaps it depends what your temperament is. You might love climbing, and you might think, well, that would be a doddle. But the other thing, no, that would be scary. Most of us, I think, would think that would be scary. The disciples needed courage to do what Jesus told them to do. Verse 17, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Courage. Does God ever ask you to do anything that requires courage? Giving up your job? Going to train for the ministry, Debs? I reckon that must take quite a bit of courage. Yeah. What else? Telling your friends about Jesus. I think many of us find that's a bit scary. Although really, it ought not to be that scary. Asking someone to do the Alpha course, for example. Why are we scared to do that? What are we worried about? What's the risk? What? Rejection. Yeah, that's it, isn't it? No one's going to kill us for doing that. But we might suffer a bit of embarrassment and a bit of social rejection. Yeah, okay. But can't we take that risk for Jesus? Are we not prepared to? No one's going to kill us for doing that. But actually, of course, sometimes Christians are killed for their faith. So we shouldn't dismiss that possibility. And indeed, Jesus doesn't dismiss that possibility here in this passage. You might get killed. Jesus says, you might get killed, but don't worry. That's really what he says. Don't worry about those who can only kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, says Jesus. There have been a lot of shootings of people in America over the last few months, and it's getting to be a dreadful situation. Why they can't impose a bit more gun control, I don't know. Well, I do know it's because the people who want to keep the guns are very strong and they oppose it. But I remember a thing that happened 17 years ago, 1999, when Columbine High School in America was attacked by a foolish, crazy lone gunman who killed a number of young people. And one famous case was the case of Cassie Bernal, who was a Christian. And the gunman approached her with his gun, and he put his gun to her head and said, "Do you believe in God?" And she said, "Yes." And he shot her dead. So she actually gave her life. She probably knew what was going to happen, but she wasn't going to deny her Lord, even in the face of that threat of death. Oh yes, sometimes Christians do get killed. But even then, Jesus tells us not to be afraid. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. Whatever discouragement you may encounter, that's got to be the overriding priority of your life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That doesn't mean there's nothing to fear. On the contrary, Jesus warns that we may meet fearsome opposition. And the experience of nearly 2,000 years of church history bears this out. But Jesus commands us not to be afraid anyway. So what do you fear? What are you afraid of? Be honest. Are you afraid of rejection? Of embarrassment? Being regarded as eccentric? Don't be afraid. Why? Well, because there's something we should be more afraid of than the fear of man. And that is displeasing the Lord himself. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. That's the thing we should be most afraid of. And it should outweigh our fear of social embarrassment or whatever. There's a lovely verse in an old hymn. "Fear him, ye saints, and ye will then have nothing more to fear. Make but his service your delight. His wants shall be his care." Your wants shall be his care. Fear him, ye saints, and ye will then have nothing more to fear. So long as you have fear of God, that puts any other fear into the right perspective. So that's courage. That's perhaps an obvious example that we can draw from the story of the missionaries to South America. Second thing is commitment. Those missionaries had given up a comfortable life in Europe to go and live where the culture was completely different and people spoke different languages. They were going to have to learn those languages when they got there. And they did that because they knew that those people needed to hear the gospel. That was in the 18th century. But Jesus' disciples also gave up comfortable, ordinary lives to follow Jesus. Later on, after Jesus' resurrection, they went off in all directions to preach the gospel to all nations. Commitment. How much is it worth to make sure that everyone has heard about the love of God? How much is it worth to us? There are still people in other countries who haven't yet had a chance to hear about Jesus. This morning we said farewell to Duncan and Trudy and their children, and they'll soon be going to Papua New Guinea. Now, not long ago, only a few dozen years ago, the people of New Guinea hadn't heard the gospel, and hardly any Christians there. But now, through the commitment of people like Trudy and Duncan, most of them have become Christians. There's an amusing story about an American aid worker who was working somewhere in the Pacific, and he got chatting to one of the locals, who made it clear that he was a convinced Christian and he tried to live his life by the Bible. And the American, who wasn't a Christian, said, surely you don't believe that thing, do you? You don't believe the Bible. And the Pacific Islander said, well, it's just as well for you that we do believe the Bible, because if we didn't, we'd have probably eaten you by now. Perhaps God wants someone here to go to another country as a missionary. Are we ready for that commitment? But it isn't just about going to other countries, is it? There are people we see in our daily lives who need to hear about Jesus. And we need to be praying for them. And I suggest we need to be quite disciplined about that. We need perhaps to even write lists, if it doesn't sound a bit too disciplined, lists of people that we do see in our sports club, in the village hall, in a U3A class or whatever that we go to. We focus our prayers on them. We try to get to know them and we look for opportunities to witness to them. It is important and it does require commitment. One missionary who lived some while ago, who was a missionary to India, Amy Carmichael, wrote that she had a dream once of sitting on a very picturesque clifftop, and she kind of admiring the view when she realized that there were people who were walking over the cliff and falling to their death on the sand below. And then she noticed that there was a bunch of people singing choruses, sitting down, making daisy chains, and having a nice cozy time of it, but making no effort to warn the people who were walking over the clifftop. And she woke up and she realized what that dream meant to her, that the Christian community mustn't just be cozy, a holy huddle, content with their own company, but they must always have an eye to the needs of those who haven't yet believed. So commitment. And then the other thing I would say comes out of the story of Gabriel is creativity. The fact that he had the nous to put an oboe in his rucksack, and that was about the only thing he took when he went to the top of the waterfall. It was the main thing that he was going to need to communicate the truth to these people and to win their trust and to win their friendship. But it was a creative thing to do, wasn't it? He showed creativity. We do hear about creativity from our missionary friends, like Andrew and Susie, for example. The way Andrew's designed a water filter and is now going to try and get the Somali people to market that and get it into production. It's a creative thing to do. It's not the ordinary kind of traditional way of going about missionary work, but it's a kind of left field sort of way of doing it. Freely you have received, said Jesus. Freely give. You've received the message. Now think about how you can pass it on. Think back to how you became a Christian. I can think back to a number of different things to do with me becoming a Christian when I was 18. But one of them is that somebody in my school invited me to attend her baptism. And I went to watch her get baptized, and I had never seen anything like that before in my life. And I found it rather astonishing. But I'm sure it was one of the things that triggered my thinking and softened me up, if you like, for my later conversion. That's a creative thing to do with a baptismal service. Not just enjoy it for yourself, but make use of it as a mission tool. And we're having a baptism next month, aren't we? And we can all make use of that and invite people to come. Be creative. Jesus said, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. That's quite a strong word, isn't it? Be as shrewd as snakes. Jesus doesn't want us to just kind of drift along in life and hope things will work out. Shrewd as snakes. Work things out. Devise plans. Work out what you're going to do and how you're going to achieve your goals. I love what Jesus says in verse 19. Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That's a wonderful promise. I know he addressed it to the first disciples, but I like to think he would make that promise to us as well. We don't need to worry about what to say. That doesn't mean we're not supposed to study. We're not supposed to read our Bibles and try to understand the Christian faith. Of course we are. But you do all that study so that when it gets to the time when you have an opportunity to speak, you don't need to worry about what to say. It's all there. And the Holy Spirit will take it and use it and speak through you without you really having to think about it too hard. Courage, commitment, creativity. These are all elements of the story that we were thinking about, but they're also all things that we need to think about in our own Christian discipleship and witness. Would the band like to come and take their places? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to work with you in this grand plan of mission. Your mission, the mission to the world, the mission of showing your love to the world. We pray for one another, Lord. We pray that you'll help us all to be effective in this mission, in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.